بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. I give thanks to my Lord, our Creator, our Sustainer, our Provider, our Healer, for enabling me to come back to my community, to my family, to my brothers and sisters, to my friends, to those that I have been with for 23 seasons of Ramadan I spent with you in Orange County. I went through very difficult times, but my hope and my trust in Allah always gave me energy and assured me that this suffering and this illness is going to go away, because I knew that thousands of people were praying for me. Many innocent men, women, young people here in America, outside America, were praying for my recovery. And in this illness, I learned many lessons. And I think I got closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we take health for granted. Sometimes we don't appreciate the value of health. We take it for granted. Same thing with safety and security. We take it for granted. Sometimes, same thing for food and a drink and shelter. We take all these things for granted. But once God takes away these things from us for a few days, a few weeks, we realize first how vulnerable we are, how deficient we are, how weak we are. And yet, despite our weakness, we become arrogant. And we forget about God's blessings. So alhamdulillah that this illness came and went away. And I am recovering now. And everything we receive in this life, my friends, is from God. Whether it is health or illness, whether it is poverty or richness, whether it is family or loneliness, whether it is insecurity or security, they are all from God. Sometimes we learn things during our illness that we don't learn them during our health. Sometimes we pay attention to certain things, certain blessings and gifts and bounties from God only when we are sick. When we are sick, we realize them and we understand them. Sometimes when we are full, the stomach is full, we have food, we have a drink, we miss some fundamental things in this life. We don't pay attention to them. They cross beside us, but we don't pay attention to them. Unless we become hungry, unless we don't have food to eat, or there is food there, right before our eyes, but we can't eat it. These are lessons. Everything we receive from God, whether we consider it good or bad, we have to be thankful for it. We have to be thankful for it. Each and every human being carries some degree of arrogance inside him or her. There is no escape except the ma'sumeen, the infallibles. They do not become arrogant because they know God very well, and they know their capabilities, and they know that everything they possess is from Him. Everything they have, it's not their own, it's from God. But us, normal human being, we become arrogant. But God also has His own ways to bring us back. Look at us during the month of Ramadan. When we don't eat, we don't drink, how weak we become. Look at us when we get sick. A dear friend of mine who's sitting here among us was telling me that when I was sick, going to use the facility was difficult. Difficult. You have to take rest a couple of times before you reach the bathroom. These are good things that happens. Allah says sometimes when you are healthy, you take me for granted. But when you get sick and then you lose your energy, you lose your activities, and you become the weakest person. Even a cup of water, you need someone to give it to you, to help you to drink water. Then you realize that God's generosity is a huge. God's blessings is continuous. Also, during sickness, you realize how much people are good and nice and supportive when they call you. I was inundated with calls and emails and text messages. Sorry if I could not return your calls. You realize that we are one family. We are one group. So if one of us is suffering, the rest of the society suffers. And this is why we come to the mosque during the month of Ramadan, to enhance this spirit of togetherness, the spirit of family. Here in this month, during the nights of this month, when we break fast together, we create relationships and friendships and brotherhoods and sisterhoods with each other. And these are very valuable. Take them to your heart. This type of recognition that you do here in the masjid, in the month of Ramadan, sitting on the food that God has given us, this cloth of food, ma'idah, these are special moments. We might not find them elsewhere. We have to cherish them. It gets us closer to each other. We recognize each other. We work together. And it makes us help each other and sacrifice for each other at the times of needs. These are good types of relationships. Because it's not for business, it's not for money, it's not for wealth, it's not for this or that. It's not for material gains, it's for God. And during the most sacred month, the month of Ramadan, the Prophet says this month, the hours of this month are the best, the days of this month. وَأَيَّامُهُ أَفْضَلُ الْأَيَّامِ وَلَيَالِيهِ أَفْضَلُ الْلَيَالِي وَسَاعَاتُهُ أَفْضَلُ السَّاعَاتِ. The nights, the hours, the days are the best. So let's keep this spirit of family. Nothing can fulfill our joy and our happiness than being together, being hand in hand, being one heart, one body, one group, helping each other. God would look at us with joy, with happiness. There is a lot of beauty, my friends, in this life, but sometimes we don't tend to see it because we lack inner beauty. The month of Ramadan is the season for us to cultivate and develop and grow this inner beauty. Once you are beautiful inside, you see everything outside beautiful, and everybody beautiful, and everything beautiful. But if I lack this beauty inside, I would see everything ugly. Not because everything is ugly, but because I don't have that vision inside me. Let's share the beauty, not just the food. Let's share love, beauty, and service to mankind. I enjoy when I sit and I see some people serving. They give food to others before they eat. This act, in the eyes of God, is a noble act. Maybe they delay their iftar 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but these 15 minutes are counted by God like years and decades. When after a long day, it's time for you to eat and a drink, but you say, I have a brothers and sisters, let me serve them first. This is an act of sacrifice. Maybe we look at it as something humble, but in the eyes of God, it's not humble. It's big. If we continue this spirit of solidarity and sacrifice and service, there should be no fear on us, because we are moving in the right direction. We don't expect the government to bring us happiness. If the government can just keep its evil away, that would be good. We don't expect any government to provide us with prosperity and happiness and success. It is us, we the Muslims. We the Muslims, we the believers in God, we the observant of this faith, we who observe fasting and prayers and du'as, we have to create this happiness and this prosperity. When we are strong, when we help each other, when we reach out to each other. I am very grateful to God who put me in the right place with the right people, in the right community. A community who is morally mature, religiously mature. Though our number is not a huge, but God always says the quality is important. إِنْ يَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ عِشْرُونَ صَابِرُونَ يَغْلِبُوا مِئَتَيْنِ. O Muslims, if 20 of you are steadfast and they stand their ground, and they are patient, and they revere God, they can win over 200 of the enemies who have no patience. I encourage you, my friends, to invite your neighbors to this place. Our place is not that big, but inshallah, our heart and our hearts are big. To receive others, invite others who know nothing about Islam or who know little about Islam. Invite them to come to see our social life, to see the way we eat. We break bread together with the humble food, which is provided by you with your own money, with your own donations. And to see the way we pray, the way we speak, to see our women, our children, to speak to them. This is an opportunity for us to reach out to our neighbors. Many of you have neighbors who ask you about your faith once in a while. Ramadan is the time where you bring them here. Let them see firsthand what we do, what we say. What does this book say? What does this book say? Invite them to come here. And let's be good to each other. In this month, remember your parents. Don't forget your parents. Remember your brothers and sisters. If some of your brothers and sisters are not with you, they don't talk to you, be the leader, the pioneer, to reach out to them yourself. Give them a call. Invite them. Invite them for iftar in your house. This is a month of a blessing. The blessing is there. The blessing is there, waiting. But we have to push the bottom to activate it. It's reserved for us. It's there. But God says, I leave the bottom in your hand. You just push the bottom, you get it. So if we want to get the blessing, we have to push the bottom. Otherwise, it's hanging there. It would not come down if you don't push the bottom. Tonight, we have a new member who's going to join this family. Her name is Wendy. Wendy, come here, please. Come, introduce yourself. Say your name, your full name, your age, your school.
Hello, my name is Wendy. I'm 18 years old and I go to Newport Harbor High School. I'm going to convert to Islam today and I hope you guys are excited.
So, Wendy, to join the club, you need to say a sentence. Beside your heart, your mouth also has to bear witness. So say after me. Say, Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
Allah.
Allah.
Ilaha.
Ilaha.
Illallah.
Illallah.
Wa ashhadu.
Wa ashhadu.
Anna.
Anna.
Muhammadan. Rasulullah.
Rasulullah.
I bear witness that there is no God but Allah.
That there is no God but Allah.
And I bear witness.
And I bear witness
that Muhammad is the messenger of God.
That Muhammad is the messenger of God.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you. Wendy. Wait. We haven't finished yet. What, may I ask you, what instigated you to search and about Islam and to accept Islam?
I was first introduced to Islam through a group where they took us to different churches for 5 days, so like a Buddhist church, an Islamic church, a Catholic church, and what I really liked about the Islamic church was how like everybody that came through the door didn't look exactly the same. There were people from different races and places in the world and over our lives. And everybody just somehow managed to get along there. And I really liked that idea of everybody setting aside what makes us different and being able to sit down in a room and just acknowledge that we're equal and we're all beautiful and we deserve to be happy and live a sane life. Yeah, and I just really like that idea, that it brings us all together.
Absolutely, the spirit of equality.
Yeah.
So those sisters here are your family now. They love you. Look at the tears in their eyes. And those on this side are your brothers and your family too.
Okay.
Yes.
Big family.
Tonight you got big family,
yeah.
So you have to invite us home, you know. Yeah. Wendy, one thing I urge you to do is to read this book. This is the Holy Quran. I'm going to give you a copy.
Okay.
Do you have a copy?
No. I
will give you a copy right after the service. Okay. But I want you to read it with reflection.
Uh-huh.
Read few verses per day, but reflect on them. This book strengthens you, strengthen your spirit. You are only 18. You have a long time to go, a long journey.
Yeah.
And you have to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be strong in this life. And this is one of the sources of strength and inspiration. This is the statement and the words of God descended upon Prophet Muhammad during this month of Ramadan. God says in chapter 2 that we sent this book upon the heart of Muhammad during the month of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
So in fact, this month we celebrate the birthday of this book. So I'm going to give you a copy, but I want you to promise me you read this book every day, even if you spend 5 minutes.
Okay.
5 minutes, because you're going to run. When you read this book, you're going to be energetic. You're going to be inspired. You're going to get closer to God. And then once you are closer to God, you will be closer to the humanity.
Okay.
God bless you, Wendy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, my friends, please invite your neighbors, your classmates. You have many of them. Invite them to our places. Let them observe this spirit of harmony and togetherness. Tonight, I have to cut my speech short, but I promise, inshallah, as I gain my strength slowly, slowly, and recover, you know, I will be with you more and more, inshallah. I'll do my best to come to the Friday prayers tomorrow, inshallah. But my friends, this is your place. Do not desert the place. Keep coming. 8 nights have already gone. 1/3 of the month is already gone. This is the month of mercy. This is the month of inspiration. This is the month of forgiveness, so please don't lose this opportunity. Now, after me, we have a guest speaker, Mr. Kazemi. Where is he? Is he here with us tonight? Is Mr. Kazemi here with us tonight? He's not with us? So, if he's not with us, then let me just recite a brief hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. أيها الناس من حسن منكم في هذا الشهر خلقه كان له جوازا على الصراط يوم تزل فيه الأقدام. This month, the Prophet says, the reason we fast, the reason we don't eat and we don't drink is to improve our behavior, to improve our thinking, to be more humane, to be more thoughtful, to be more sensitive when it comes to people, to be more humble within our families. مَنْ حَسَّنَ مِنْكُمْ خُلُقَهُ حُسْنُ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Working on our attitude. We need to work every single day. We need to be different. In this month, we need to inspire change in the way we behave, in the way we speak, in the way we act, in the way we establish relationship with others, in the way we perceive others. If, for instance, if me or someone else, we are suspicious about people, always suspicious, then we have to crush this suspicion. We have to change it. We have to say that, I have to change my mind about people. People are good. I cannot continue being suspicious about this and that. I cannot continue being negative, thinking negative about this neighbor and this person and this friend. It's not good. We have to change this suspicion into husnudhan, switching su'udhan, suspicion, bad suspicion, into husnudhan, into thinking good about people, thinking good about their intentions, thinking good about their faith, giving them the benefit of the doubt. We should not, I mentioned this many times, we should not rush to judge people. This is not good habit. Not good habit to judge. Once we see something wrong, I immediately say, oh, this man, I know, he's liar, he's hypocrite, he's bad, he's evil. This is not good. This is not good. We have to give them the benefit of the doubt. One day, a man and woman were walking in Medina. So someone saw them. He rushed to the Prophet. He said, Ya Rasulullah, this man, stranger, he's walking with this lady. They are strangers. The Prophet said to him, how do you know they are strangers? Did you see her face? Her face is covered. And it was in the evening. Even if she's not covered, there are no lights like now. They could not see the face is not very visible or recognizable. The Prophet said to him, do you know that she's strange? They are strangers to each other? He said, no, I think. The Prophet said, this is a sin. You have committed a sin. When you have suspicion, you think? What do you mean I think? How can you judge, immediately judge people when you don't know? Stay away from thinking. Don't say, I think. Don't. In another incident, during the battle, Muslims are, and non-Muslims, they were fighting in one of the battles. So one of the Sahaba companions, he took his sword to strike at one of the people from the other side. That person, when he saw the sword coming to hit him, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Despite saying the shahadatain, this sahabi, he hits him with his sword and he kills him. People rushed to the Prophet. They said, Ya Rasulullah, this man, he just said the two shahadatain. He observed the two testimonies. Despite that, he was killed. So the Prophet called the murderer. He said to him, come here. Why did you kill him? Did you hear him saying the shahadatain? He said, yes, bala ya Rasulullah. I heard him. He said, then why did you kill him? He said, because I still think he's not serious. He's munafiq. He's hypocrite. The Prophet said to him, this sentence is very precious. This sentence is for all of us. All of us. Not just that sahabi. All of us. The Prophet said to him, هل لا شققت عن قلبه? Couldn't you just cut open his chest and look at his heart and see whether his heart is hypocrite or non-hypocrite? How do you assume that he's telling you lies? How? Do you know what is going on inside his heart yourself? Are you God who knows about the intentions? How do you murder him? So my friends, we should not always assume people are bad. Just because my brain says, no, he's not good. Therefore, he's not a Muslim. Give people the benefit of the doubt. This is the message of Ramadan. This is the message of Ramadan. Trust people. Look at the beauty inside them. And if you want to judge them positively, not negatively. This is how we build ourselves. This is how we benefit from siyam, from fasting. Otherwise, if we don't change, my friends, we are not gaining anything from this fasting, believe me. We are suffering from hunger and thirst, but we are not growing. We are not growing. And it's a pity if for 30 days and nights we pray, we recite dua, we recite Quran, we fast, but we don't change. At the end of these 30 days and nights we don't change, it's really pity. It's a loss. It's the biggest loss. The biggest loss. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow on us the ability, the tawfiq, that we observe the authentic fasting, the real fasting, the fasting that controls our hearts, our thoughts, our minds, not just our stomach. Let me conclude with one mas'ala about fasting. There are a few exceptions, few people who should not fast during this month. Number one, elderly people. Elderly people where fasting hurts them and compromises their health, they shouldn't fast. They can pay after Ramadan, at the end of Ramadan, they can pay something called fidya. Fidyatun ta'amu miskin, as the Quran says. Fidya means 750 gram of food, less than a kilo. 750 gram of food per day. The food, it could be rice, it could be what else? Bread, dates. These are foods. So either you purchase the food and give it to them, or give them the money and ask them to buy food with it. Poor people. If you have poor people in your neighborhood, begin with your neighborhood. If you don't have in your neighborhood, send it to other cities or other countries too. So elderly people, they are exempted from fasting. Second, sick people. If you are sick, even if you are young, but you are sick, and the doctor says fasting is not good for your health is going to deteriorate if you fast, then you shouldn't fast. But in this case, you make up the fast, the days that you missed after Ramadan, whenever you can, whenever your health permits, you make up these days, but you don't pay fidya anymore. So only qada, for the one who's sick, does not pay the fidya, only will make up these days that they missed. The third category, the nursing mothers, mothers who deliver babies and they are nursing them. They may not fast, but then after Ramadan, they make up the fast and they pay fidya too. The fourth category, the pregnant mothers. Pregnant women also are exempted from fast, but after Ramadan, they make up what they missed whenever they can, and they pay fidya. And my friends, fidya, which is 750 gram of food, is only for those who can afford financially. But if people cannot afford, let's say the fidya for the whole month will make, I would estimate in today's price here in Orange County, it might make something between roughly $90 a month, $3 per day. So if people cannot afford $90, they can afford $50. They should pay $50. Or they afford $10 only. They would pay $10. They purchase with this $10 food and they give it to the poor. Last mas'ala, regarding those young girls who reach the age of bulugh, puberty. You know, there is a debate among the scholars and the fuqaha. What is the right age of a puberty and bulugh for girls? For boys, they all say it's about 14 or 13, 13, 14, one, their voice changes. It becomes like my voice today, you know. Or there is pubic hair, or they see wet dreams. So this is a sign for bulugh for boys. For girls, some fuqaha, they say when they finish the 9th year of Hijri calendar, which is even closer than the Gregorian calendar. But for some other scholars, they say, no, it's not 9, it's also 13. So there is a debate among the fuqaha. However, now many parents ask me, he says, my daughter is now 9, but she cannot take it 16 hours, 17 hours, and she goes to school. So if fasting would hurt them, then they should not fast. They should not fast. If they are unable, physically too weak to fast, or fasting is going to hurt their health and create a problem for them. Some girls, they pass out. 4 p.m., 5 p.m., they pass out. So they can't continue. So if they cannot do it, they postpone it until they get, inshallah, to an age where they're able to observe the fast, inshallah. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minin wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat allahumma manna ala mardana bil shifa'i wal afiyah. By the way, Wendy, you begin fasting tomorrow. Yeah, it's not a free. So fasting tomorrow, my dear, yeah. But you can break your fast here with us. Yeah. So, Allahumma kulli waliyyaka. Leave me do a speech, and you can't change your mind, huh? You can't go back, sir. Allahumma kulli waliyyaka al-hujjat ibn al-hasan. Salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaih. Fi hadhihi al-sa'ati wa fi kulli sa'ah. Waliyyan. وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا واجعلنا اللهم من أنصاره وأعوانه والمستشهدين بين يديه. Hopefully I will see you tomorrow for صلاة الجمعة إن شاء الله تعالى. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. I apologize if I don't shake hand with